Please allow me to pray before we get into the sermon. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so humbled when you use us as your instruments. Father, even when we are not worthy, at times, Father, you are the one that creates opportunities, Father. Father, through your Spirit and through the power of your Spirit, Father, that you enable us to deliver your message. And Father, at this moment I ask that you will strengthen me, that you will help me, Father, because for sure I need you. Father, and that you will open the hearts of those who hear your message this afternoon. And Father, that my message will not only be informative, but that my message will be transformative. And that the hearts will be transformed, not by only the word, but through your working of your Holy Spirit. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So our passage reading today for the sermon comes from Exodus 9, verses 8 until the end of chapter 9, which is verse 35. Please follow along if you have your Bibles with you, or you can follow along also on the screen. Chapter 9, verse 8. And it reads, "And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Take hands full of soot from the kiln, and let Moses throw it in the air in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become fine dust over the land of Egypt, and become boils breaking out in sores of man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt.' So they took the soot from the kiln, stood before Pharaoh, and Moses threw it in the air, and it became boils breaking out in sores on man and beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boils came upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. But the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not listen to them, as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Rise up early in the morning and present yourself before Pharaoh and say to him, Thus says the Lord, the God of Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on yourself, on your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is none like me in all the earth. For by now I could have put out my hand and struck you and the people with the pestilence, and you would have been cut off from the earth. But for this purpose I have raised you up, to show you my power, so that my name may be proclaimed in all the earth. You are still exalting yourself against my people and will not let them go. Behold, about this time tomorrow I will cause very heavy rain to fall, such as never been in Egypt from the day it was founded until now. Now therefore, get your livestock and all that you have in the field into safe shelter. For every man and beast that is in the field and is not brought home will die when the hail falls on them. Then whoever feared the word of the Lord amongst the servants of Pharaoh hurried his slaves, his livestock into the houses. But whoever did not pay attention to the word of the Lord left his slaves and his livestock in the field. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, so that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man and beast and every plant in the field in the land of Egypt. Then Moses stretched out his staff toward heaven, and the word Lord sent thunder and hail and fire rained down on the earth. And the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. There was hail and fire flashing continuously in the midst of the hail. Very hail, heavy hail, such as never been in the land of Egypt since it became a nation. The hail struck down everything that was in the field in all the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And the hail struck down every plant of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the people of Israel were, there was no hail. Then Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to them, this time I have sinned. The Lord is in the right, and I am my people are in the wrong. Plead with the Lord, for there has been enough of the Lord's thunder and hail. I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. Moses said to him, as soon as I have gone out of the city, I will stretch out my hands to the Lord. The thunder will cease, and there will be no more hail, so that you may know that the earth is the Lord's. But as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord God. The flax and the barley were struck down, for the barley was in the early in the ear, and the flax was in the bud. But the weed and the emmer were not struck down, for they are late in coming up. So Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh and stretched out his hands to the Lord, and the thunder and the hail eased, and the rain no longer poured upon the earth. But when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, he sinned yet again and hardened his heart, he and his servants. So the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people of Israel go, just as the Lord had spoken through Moses. We have all heard the saying that for every action there is a reaction. For example, when you kick a ball, then the ball will move forward because of the action. But there's also for every decision or action, there's a consequence. And this is indeed the case with Pharaoh and his servants. Choosing to obey or to resist the authority of the Lord leads to consequences that could have been avoided. Now, this last week, we saw that Will Drake spoke about the anxiety and what caused the anxiety. And also through the passages that we'll see what's upcoming, we'll see that how Pharaoh also experienced this anxiety. Now also we have reached through the series of the seven plagues, or the ten plagues, we've reached now halfway. And what's quite significant about the halfway is that from plagues 1 to 5, we have seen that this plagues was not really focused directly onto the people. But we'll see in the upcoming plagues that it's now been directly focused onto the people. And if you turn back just a few passages back, also in chapter 9, verses 5 to 7, it says, and the Lord set a time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. And the next day the Lord did this thing. All the livestock of the Egyptians died, but not one of the livestock of the people of Israel died. And Pharaoh sinned, and behold, not one of the livestock of Israel was dead. But the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. So what we see here as an introduction, as we prepare for this passage, is that the word of the Lord is filled with quite a lot of warnings that prepares us for the upcoming course, pointing towards things that are to come. Even in the New Testament, there is a lot of warnings and things pointing towards the return of Christ. And one thing we can be sure of is that the Lord will do this. When the Lord sets his direction on something, and when he does say that it will happen, we can for sure be that it will happen. And also within our opinion, it is that we can obey or disobey, but it is also that we run the risk of that we will have to bear the consequences. And of course, today we are no longer under the law, but we are under the grace in faith in Christ. And therefore, we can with confidence stand in the righteousness of Jesus through our faith and in the death and resurrection of Jesus. And without the faith, we will see that when judgment comes, it's going to be very difficult for some to stand before the Lord. And this is exactly what we see in Plague 6 and 7, is that the Lord uses this to display his glory and power over the people of Egypt, as the God who has authority over the earth and that what he has created. while his chosen people remains unharmed. So we'll be looking at three points. And the title of the sermon is The Grace of the Lord. And the three points we'll be looking at is the grace of the Lord allows us to stand before him just as we are. And we'll look at verses 8 to 12. Secondly, we look at the grace of the Lord is not to be ignored. This is 13 to 26. And thirdly, we look at the grace of the Lord through faith in Jesus Christ. When we look at the first point, the grace of the Lord allows us to stand before him just as you are. We start off with the sixth plague in the biblical story. And this plague specifically deals with the plague of boils, which was afflicted on both humans and animals in Egypt. And what is so significant about this plague, the sixth plague, it is that it was directed at the people of Egypt. But this was also, as the third plague, it came without warning. There was no warning of towards Pharaoh that this plague will come. So we saw that this plague was caused by Moses throwing soot from the furnace in the air, which turned into fine dust and caused the boils. The instruction of the Lord to Moses was to do this in the presence of Pharaoh. And the significance of this display was so that Pharaoh could see Moses as his representative, the power of the Lord. And we also see that to understand this in a better way, is we can describe the boils that occurred in here as also being dirty, to such an extent that the skin started to show boils. It was a sign of bacterial growth. It was on the skin and it was causing great discomfort to those who had it. And with some interpretations, it actually links it to a form of leprosy or a severe skin infection. And these boils could be described as festering, inflamed, and also painful. And being associated as a servant of Pharaoh in such a way was a disgrace. What did the servants of Pharaoh do? Is that they disappeared. If you were one of the servants, you could imagine the same shame of standing before Moses. And yet again, Pharaoh did not listen to Moses, as we read in verse 12, just as the Lord had said to Moses. But I want to stay here with the servants for a moment. At a point during this event, they probably thought to themselves, why am I still staying with this guy, Pharaoh? What would happen if I just took the chance to follow this one true God which Moses and Aaron, through whom God is displaying this power? I'm walking around with these boils on my body, filth and dirt in appearance. And this is what I get from following this man who does not care about the people, but only about himself. There God said that he will not touch the livestock of his people, Israel, and he did not. In verse 4 of the same chapter 9, it says, but the Lord made a distinction between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt, so that nothing of that belonged to the people of Israel shall die. This is the true God who shows true grace to the people he has chosen. But it is by choice that they would rather fall under the justice of Pharaoh, but rather under the justice of God. Having the opportunity to stand in God's grace, just as his people, Israel. Through his son Jesus, God told that we will be shown grace through the faith in Christ. Even today, as we see this sad picture, there are so many people, because of the boils and the filth, they feel they cannot stand before the living God, that they are not worthy of His grace. And they would rather choose to bear the discomfort and the festering of and choose to disappear, try to avoid the presence of God, the justice of God, because of the shame. The point is, the world does not care about you and me, brother and sister. Because the world rejects the counsel of the Lord. It also rejects His grace. The heart of the world is hardened against God and rebels against His counsel. And this is when people end up with boils, disgrace, and shame, feeling that they cannot stand before God, the God they never knew, the God they once knew, and the God they now reject. And I was listening to a lecture from Timothy Keller, and he made a point that people have misunderstood the grace of God through the justification, through faith in justice. You see, it's when you understand the justice of God and when you understand that you cannot save yourself through your own works, but that God is a just God, that sin deserves a punishment, and that the punishment of sin is death, but that God chose to put this punishment of death and of sin on Christ, that we have the opportunity to receive this grace through the faith and be justified through Christ. You see, Christ experienced the shame already for me and you. In Hebrews 12, it says, "Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, and who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God, on the throne of God." And what is this shame that Christ experienced on our behalf? Brother, sister, everything you can think of. He was treated worse than the leper on the street. He was beaten. He was spit at. He was mocked. He was put up on a cross like the worst sinner and displayed for everybody to see. The filth in your life means nothing compared to what Christ has gone through. And therefore, having gone through all of this, Christ has taken His place and is seated at the right hand of God, where He intercedes for me and for you. When you come before Christ with your filth and your boils that is causing this discomfort, be sure that He will take it away. The choice is up to you. And this brings us to our second point. And this is clearly where we see Pharaoh ignoring the grace of the Lord. And the point is, the grace of the Lord is not to be ignored. And in this passage, God spends quite a few times with Pharaoh through His servant Moses. And it's quite significant why God is spending this time with Pharaoh. And it's because God is trying to show and to warn Pharaoh that what is coming is actually going to be much worse than what he has seen before. The extended section on the Lord's words to Pharaoh is particularly significant to the seventh plague. It's the first and only time the Lord explicitly explains to Pharaoh the power and the purpose of the plagues that will come upon him and his people. And it's also the first time He offers Pharaoh a way to avoid the effects of this plague. What we need to keep in mind is that this plague that is upcoming now is directed directly on the people. and it will affect their lives directly. So the Lord spoke to Moses again, and he said to him that he needs to present himself before Pharaoh. Moses is the representative before Pharaoh. And Moses has appeared time and time before Pharaoh, delivering the instructions of the Lord. It's also Moses that has been loyal to the Lord, who has obeyed the Lord in all his instructions exactly as the Lord has commanded him. So Moses goes to Pharaoh and he speaks to him. And he says to him that the Lord of the Hebrews will send this upon you. And the identity who God is was quite important to Moses. As he speaks, thus says the Lord, the Lord, the God of the Hebrews. After all what you have seen, after all what I have told you, you should be feeling shivers at this time. 6 times you have experienced the hand of the Lord. The warning Moses delivers are now more serious. God adds a purpose to what's upcoming. And we read it in verse 14 to say that so that you may know that there is none like me on the earth. And then God goes on to say that he could have destroyed Pharaoh and his people long time ago. But God wants to display his identity. See, God, the Lord of the Hebrews, wants today to display his power. And through his power, God wants to receive all the glory. In a way, God is showing Pharaoh that he is also a God of mercy and of grace to those who believe in him and who obey him and who listens to his counsel. God uses this opportunity for us as well today. So when we read this and study this narrative, we see that the word of the God is still proclaiming who Yahweh is. He still is the God, the creator of heaven and earth. Instead of accepting this grace that the Lord has offered, Pharaoh's heart steering to change the opposite, to ignore this grace. Instead, the word says that Pharaoh exalted him above God's people after hearing that the Lord, the God of Hebrews, has spoken. And then the Lord says, therefore, for this reason, because of your pride and disobedience, I will send the biggest hailstorm upon Egypt that has ever been seen. By this time tomorrow, this is a clear warning that judgment is coming. So Moses was to extend a warning to let the people know what is coming and to give them a chance to save them, their slaves, and their livestock. And in a very similar way, we are also warned today that judgment is coming. The question today is, how do we respond? How do we warn others? How do we warn friends and family members, wives and children? And when it says in verse 20, then whoever feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh hurried his slaves and his livestock into the house. We'll see two people, those who obey and who don't obey. And there will be those who fear the word of the Lord. Or as the Hebrew phrase is literally translated, whoever sets his heart on the word of the Lord. And the counsel of the Lord is written down for me and you. And it's written so that we might not only fear, brothers and sisters, but that we can take to heart the word of the Lord. What is written is set down for us, that we can hurry, that we can save those who are still out in the field. It is for us who believe the inerrant word, the truthful scripture breathed out, as 2 Timothy 3:16 said, that we might be taught, that we might be corrected, and that we might be rebuked, and that at the same time we might find the grace of the Lord. So the message today is do not delay or do not ignore. You need to act. God did not say in verses 8:19 that for every man and beast that is in the field might die when the hail falls on them. No, brothers and sisters, the word was very clear and specific through the servant Moses, when for every man and beast that is in the field will die when the hail falls on them. And then obviously there will be the people who will, of course, delay and ignore. And it starts with a but. Always as those who will ignore and different, being different to the instructions and to the counsel of the Lord. Who will ignore and continue as normal. The question today is, who do you know who's still out in the field? Who do you know that is still ignoring the counsel of God? Who needs to hear His voice? Who needs to hear His words? And I think the message specifically today is also for the parents, and specifically for fathers, is that we need to teach our children. We need to get back to teaching our wives. We need to teach them about the counsel of the Lord. Because only through the counsel of the Lord we will find also the grace of the Lord once we grow in our faith. The last thing that you want is for you and your family member or even a friend to die. And to die, I don't mean in the sense of physical death, but to die in the spiritual death away from God. So the Lord acts on His word and promise, and He said that He will send the worst hailstorm that Egypt has ever seen. The day of judgment that is coming will create confusion, and people will realize what the Lord has spoken. The day when we stand before the Lord in judgment, and the Lord strips away as the hail comes down, the question is, will we survive? Also, the question is, where do you want to be found? Gozan is where the people, the nation of Israel, were untouched. While the chaos of boils and hail was taking place, while people were around in painful boils and disgrace, and while the hail was killing those in the field, the nation of God, His chosen people, was untouched, protected under the grace of God. And under our third point, the grace of the Lord through faith in Christ Jesus. As the hail was coming down, as the thunder was hitting in the field, Pharaoh asks Moses and pleads with him, "Plead to your Lord. You are the intercessor between me and your God. Ask Him to stop this judgment on me and my people. We have sinned. We have had enough." Now, when we look at this, we can ask our question, is this true repentance that we've seen from Pharaoh? Is this true repentance that Pharaoh was actually trying to build a relationship with God? Now, true repentance leads to a true relationship with God. And it requires you to search your heart. It requires you to feel the process of conviction through the Word of God and to show your sinful life completely and to repent of it all. And when we pause for a while, we see that this was not the case with Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was not too prepared to do that. He still remained in the thought that all the other times that he was in the right, in his own righteousness, ignoring God's counsel. He said that we had enough. one would ask the question, what did you have enough of? Was it enough of the hail? Was it enough of the thunder? Was Pharaoh not concerned about the crops and the field or the livestock? If this was his real concern, he would have feared the Lord. In verses 30, Moses confirms ahead that Pharaoh will not change his mind because he does not fear the Lord. Moses, through the authority of God, tells Pharaoh that as soon as he goes out in the city, he will stretch out his hand in prayer to the Lord and ask the Lord to stop. It does tell us that Moses prayed to the Lord. And when he stretched his hand out even more, and he pleaded to the Lord, then it stopped. But while he was telling this, he said that even as he goes out to do this, he knows that Pharaoh will not fear the Lord. Verse 30, it also starts with a but. And I like to look at this word but. So when but appears in Scripture, it means that there's always something in contrast. And it says in this word, for soon as for you and your servants, Pharaoh and those who serve him, they do not yet fear the Lord, which was said. How do we fear the Lord? Out of our trembling and reverence for who he is. But on the other side, we look at the damage of the hail. What was destroyed? The explanation about the crops of Egypt indicates that Pharaoh took comfort in what remained in his land rather to acknowledge the destruction that has already happened. The flax and the barley was destroyed. The flax that was used to produce linen, the barley that was one of the food sources, was destroyed. But the wheat and the emmer was not, however, not destroyed because they only come up in June. And the question is, why did the Lord not destroy this? Why did the Lord allow this to remain? It's because God wanted to show Pharaoh and wanted him to see that he's not only a God that executes judgment, but he's also a God of grace and mercy. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, gives this message to Pharaoh just as the Lord had commanded him. And then Pharaoh and his servants sinned again. So as soon as the thunder and the hail disappeared, they hardened their hearts. As soon as the judgment disappeared and they saw that not all was at loss, they hardened their hearts again, go back to their own habits. Take note that the passage says that the Lord did not harden his heart this time, but that Pharaoh hardened his heart himself. And we see that the servants followed in a foolish way. Dear friends, God does not give us hardened hearts. Once we truly repent of our sin before him, when you acknowledge who he is, he will remove your hardened heart and replace it with a heart of flesh. The day you accept Jesus Christ, your Savior, your heart is set on God alone and the grace he shows you. Maybe your situation today was intense as that of Pharaoh. Maybe not. But when God replaced your heart of stone, he gave you a heart of flesh. He did so that you would understand and experience his love and his grace through his Son, Jesus Christ. The question is, as we look at this passage, as we look at the behavior of Pharaoh, the question is, how many people go through their lives today because of their situations they find themselves in. And they repent. Do they recognize the full extent of their repentance? Do they recognize the full extent of their sin in their lives? Is their repentance only a way of making them feel good? Is their repentance really to look at their own hearts? So when we experience the thunder and hail in our lives, we should look at our own experiences, ask God to give us a heart of flesh. As Hebrews 4 says, that the word pierces our hearts and that it opens up our hearts so we can at the same time see our own sinful hearts. These plagues shows us God's sovereignty over nature, human life and agriculture, the daily livelihood that is needed. These Egyptian deities could not come close to the comparable power and rulership of God of the Hebrews. God is the only one who can deal with the filth and the boils of this world. He is the only one that can turn you away when He convicts you in your heart. But it's only when you turn to God in true repentance through faith in Christ, only when you hand it all over to Him, the same that you have allowed the world through its deceit, that you will stand in the grace of the Lord. You will stand in the grace of the Lord and of the Savior, Jesus Christ, who redeemed you through His broken flesh, His spilled blood, so that you might experience the joy of the Lord. I want to close with a passage by John Piper. And he quotes Hebrews 4:16. And he says, where he gives his conclusion on grace. And it reads, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. That's a throne with quality and character, and the inclination to treat people better than they deserve. That's the kind of throne we are coming to. But then he says that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Or a more literal translation, that we might find mercy and grace for a well-timed help. It's incredibly encouraging that God's grace is both the inclination of the divine heart to treat us better than we deserve. Brothers and sisters, it is encouraging when we look at these two plagues to see the hand of God in each of them and the message that He has for each one of us. In closing, it doesn't matter how much filth you have had in your life or how much filth you still have today in your life. And there's no need to hide behind the filth and to disappear. That is when we look up to the cross, when we can stand before Christ, who has carried these boils on your behalf, this filth that was placed upon Him, that you can ask Him to take this away. It's not through our own works, but it's only through faith that alone we can stand in the grace of God. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we are humbled and thankful for the grace that You have shown to us through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we are aware that through no works are we able to get rid of the filth and the dirt of in our lives. Father, but that's only that when we appear before Christ, our intercessor, who's intercessing before God and us, that we have the opportunity to be cleansed and to be cleaned and to be set free from the things that are entangling us in this world. Heavenly Father, may you stir our hearts with your word and through your spirit today. That as we approach you, Father, that we do not only partially come before you with our sins and the things that hinder us, Father, that we will take the time to spend before you, Father, to bring before you all our concerns and all the things that's causing the pain in our lives, that we might leave it with you, Father, that we might live in freedom and in the grace that you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.